Good afternoon. Lina Life is back. I'm Lina Mirmont with my wonderful listeners who are certainly very happy to know that BBS Radio is serving all of us with their great, wonderful inspiration, giving us hosts a fantastic opportunity to share our thoughts, wonderful, crazy, musical, philosophical, and certainly we are all very grateful to BBS. And I like to introduce my very interesting guests today. They are young generation, and they are trying to find probably the most important things in life, which is the truth. They have their own accomplishment in this area, and I felt quite enchanted reading their thoughts and being acquainted with their book. And on this note, I'd like to introduce Xavier and Lily. In fact, I'm trying to be as informal as I can and tell them honestly that their last name, I'm not sure I pronounced correctly. So they will pronounce their own last name. Also, they will introduce their website. And it is my pleasure to invite them to the conversation and to ask them my first question, which perhaps has some thoughts already in there. Xavier and Lily, you are welcome. And I'd like to ask you, you're most welcome, and I'd like to ask you, in your own opinion, what is a principal different thought concept and understanding of the truth you found, which will be somewhat strikingly different from other concepts of this very profound meaning of life? As we know, there are many books, philosophy, and historic approaches to place in humankind history. So what is different, particularly what is the difference you brought to this subject?
Well, our top entry right now is called the present, and that kind of in one phrase explains what we're doing. We're trying to update a lot of things. We're not trying to stick in old traditions and old comfortable ways that have been around for a long time. We're trying to update it with all the new knowledge that we've gained since all of those books you were talking about were written.
Which also makes past philosophies and ideas more clearer as well.
Yes, and it's just our website is called the Truth Contest, and it's an open contest to everyone. We just want people to submit what they think the truth is, to submit the most updated and accurate and complete explanation of the truth about life and death in the history of mankind.
Well, if you are prepared for somewhat a little bit of an intellectual, let me say, as being so brave, but I have confidence in your minds. So if you're ready for somewhat a little bit intellectual confrontation, I'd like to ask you about your verbal expression when you said you like to update the truth. Truth is something which we cannot survive for 1 second. What do you mean talking about updating the truth? Please don't think I'm catching your words. I like to catch your meaning.
Yes. By updating, I just mean updating the explanations, updating the expressions we have of the truth based on the evidence we've been uncovering with science, for example, and just combining all perspectives, just things we're finding out, and not really settling with past explanations of the truth, because the truth is just that which is. And all we can do is try to express it and explain it. But it's always good to try to update that explanation with newer evidence and newer things.
This is an excellent answer. And I see that you're already bringing a little bridge to my next question, which perhaps will be a little bit more philosophical, because right now you gave an excellent factual answer. And yes, we are always missing a certain update of facts, and it is incredibly useful. I had also impression from your writing that you are feeling people's pain, especially with the younger generation, which connects to deception, misrepresentation, and I would say falsification of certain most vital ideas. You've been as open and as honest, saying that you are tired of certain lies and some political misleading concept, and you're looking for this almost like a salvation and reapproaching of meaning of life, and you found that truth is like a focal point. Am I touching upon something which you try to express in your writing and your thinking?
Oh, exactly. Those things that you're talking about, the lies and deception, they just serve to continually divide mankind, and we see the truth as central to unifying the human race, and that's exactly why we're seeking it, the truth about life and death.
I will certainly ask you to be as free as you can to go into some points of your book where you certainly will find the answers to some of my questions, and if not the answers, maybe it's a simplification. But if we just can have a discussion of certain parameters which you're expressing, one thing a little surprised me, because correct me if I'm not very precise, but at one point you express that it's not your life or Lilith's life which is important. It's important the truth, and that you want to be as pure as you can to invite other people's input to this. I found it a little difficult to comprehend, because no matter how objective sometimes truth is, but we still relate to the truth from our own experiences, obviously, and our own perception.
Exactly. We want to examine all perspectives. That's what the contest is for. It's not really a competition. We want everyone to get involved. But the reason it's called a contest, and the reason there's separation in the entries and the ranks, is because we're looking for the kind of truth that can be checked, by direct experience and also common sense and the truth-finding tools we have, such as reason and logic and extrapolation and things like that. So that's the kind of truth we're looking for. We're looking for truth that can be checked, and the entries are ranked based on that and based on the feedback we've received about them.
I certainly inspired, I would say, with the continuation of our intellectual confrontation. So far, we've been in a very peaceful and understanding points. I'd like to ask you, what trigger and what was a pivotal point for you to start to think and challenge, I'm sure, yourself first, and then the world, with this extremely sensitive and powerful dimension of our life as a truth?
Could you repeat that, please? Repeat your question more directly?
Yes. What was the pivotal point in your life? What pushed you, what prompted you to start to think about the truth as such a critical point of understanding in understanding of the world?
I think it was actually the fear of death. I mean, you always know that it's coming to you, and it's gonna eventually happen. And I always felt like I had to understand. I couldn't just pretend that I understood my life to the point I was ready for death unless I really sought some truth about why I was alive and gave my life more meaning.
Right, and to build off that, at least for me, it's the same thing, kind of the fear of death and not being able to just blindly accept beliefs and blind faith. That doesn't do anything for me. I've always wanted to look for truth I can check. And when I realized that death doesn't happen sometime off in the future, that it happens in the present, like everything else, then I really started to seek the truth, because life is also present, too. So I wanted to seek the truth about life and death. And it kind of led to this contest and just this very strong effort to seek the truth and to spread the truth and to get everyone involved in checking it for themselves.
I honestly like to thank you for this very sincere answer. I like to share with you a little bit of my own personal experience. I clearly remember, obviously I'm much older than you are, but I remember very clearly around the time when I was at the conservatory. I'm a musician and I'd sort of speak another life. I came from Eastern Europe. This fear of death suddenly hit me so powerfully that I still remember this physical sensation. And I remember that it was almost like a satanic desire to find the meaning of life. I was deeply screaming inside, saying, why do I have to be alive if then I will be dead? What is the whole meaning? Why do I need to fear this tragedy? And I literally was struggling to find meaning of life. How simple that sounds right now, but it sure took such a journey. It took such incredible understanding. I remember discussing this with quite a few people whom I trusted spiritually, one of whom was my mother. But I remember very clearly that understanding and relationship with life was formed with the struggle and then acceptance of death in a very spiritual level. Well, I'm still alive, so physically I didn't have to face that. So you really touched upon something, I think, so critically revealing. And I feel that people who have deep understanding and more than respect, but profound feeling for religion, have somewhat a little easier time, maybe a little more natural time with understanding of merged life and death than, for example, atheist people who have to be in the hands of the reality of factual a real confirmation about the life and other things, including the truth. So I like to ask you next question, because you learn about the truth, or let's say it was a trigger, that was my initial question, through fear. Let's talk about fear a little bit. And I wanted to express this concept a little wider, because we're living certainly in a world where human fear, perhaps one of the most powerful moving force, where fear can be very negative and fear can be somewhat positive as a sign for change, for indeed investigating what the truth is. So my question is, what is fear for you today, and where you are in your journey for the truth and the fear?
Well, fear has been important in the whole history of our animal evolution. It's what it is, the most powerful thing. I mean, it pushes evolution forward. So I think that in your spiritual evolution, it definitely motivates you to like seek the truth, like to realize what your life means. And I think that a lot of people don't really are actually too afraid to even see that they are afraid, because they cover it up with chasing different pleasures, and so when they're dying, maybe it's too late. So it's important to have that realization of your own fear while you're alive still.
And where we're at on our journey right now, I mean, we're just really trying to run this contest and trying to help others, because we know that helping others is helping ourselves. And by that I mean that we just want to get people to at least start thinking about the truth, or to challenge their current beliefs, to everyone, wherever they think they're at on their spiritual path right now, even you, just to challenge what they think and to really check things for themselves and check out what has been submitted to the contest. Because right now at the Truth Contest, the URL is www.truthcontest.com if anyone wants to check it out. But it says that the top entry at Truth Contest is the most complete and accurate explanation of the ultimate truth in the history of mankind. And a lot of people are going to disagree with that statement without even reading anything there. And what we want people to do is really read what's there and really keep thinking about truth and keep seeking, because seeking is what leads to finding, and we really need to continue seeking and not just be settled in what we believe and just keep looking for the truth and updating it, like I was saying before. And we want people to challenge what's there if they disagree and really comment on it and analyze it. And if someone thinks they can express the truth in a more complete and accurate way, we welcome anyone to submit an entry. We want to see what everyone has to say about this important subject.
Well, that's why, thank God that you have open mind, so I'm not, by all means, actually experience this intellectual confrontation, which I warned you. But saying that, I would express my disagreement with some of your statements in your writing, but I think it is because, indeed, you express yourself very openly and very freely. So one of my disagreement is in your statement, which says it is better to be blind than to see things that do not exist. I would take a little different approach with this, because, first of all, we do not wish anyone to be blind. Second of all, why you are so categorically compare this blind state, whether it's a physical or mental, and going into things which you perhaps do not see now, but with your expansion development, you can see existing later on. Can you comment on this thought?
Yeah, well, let me preface this by saying that entry there, that wasn't written by us. We run the contest, and we're just neutral and open to whatever people have to say. That was something that someone submitted, actually, the present. But what I get from that statement, and I'm not trying to tell anyone what the truth is, but this is just how I interpret it, it's just, it's better to be blind than to see things that don't exist. I mean, there's a lot of people that say things are true without really knowing that they're true, and what that does is it passes it on. They pass it on to other people and try to get them to believe it. And then it's sort of like a infection, because they get comfortable in whatever that is, and they think it's true without really checking it or knowing it. So it's kind of like a disease that spreads. Whereas, of course, we wouldn't wish anyone to be blind, but that kind of infectious belief or infectious saying something is true without knowing that it's true is worse than just not.
It causes more blindness, yeah, in the world.
Causes more blindness.
Excellent comment, Dan. I'm with you on that. But you understand where did I come from with my question and with my doubting of this statement.
Yes, I understand.
Now,
when you keep seeking the truth, you keep finding it. So things that you don't understand right now, they keep building on themselves. So I see where you're coming from.
Absolutely. I also wanted to say, yes, there is a certain unfair recommendation can be, or evaluation, if you just take one thought out of context. And I'm certainly aware of this, but that stick out to me so obviously that I decided to discuss this. Now, there is another statement here, very interesting, about having luck or lack of luck. And whether you wrote this or perhaps some of your spiritual colleagues, but it was very well described the difference between some people who have good looks, some people who perhaps been very less fortunate and been with some serious disease and issues, with some other challenges in life. But then the conclusion of that particular paragraph says, everyone will get equal amounts of good and bad luck. Don't quite see this as simple. I think good and bad luck certainly in some ways act of God. But I think we are, fortunately, forming certain good lucks, and we certainly can be responsible for some bad lucks. And because you indeed dedicating yourself so scrupulously to the meaning of truth, I'd like to ask you a question. What is, in your estimation, good and bad luck?
Well, and that's the section about the balance in the book, about the balance of the universe, how it's the fundamental law, what keeps everything moving. And the way to express it in terms of luck is just a way to express it in a term that our minds can understand with everyday things, like good looks, being tall or small, having a lot of money or being poor. And what it says about how it will balance out for everyone, there'll be equal amounts of good and bad luck, that builds off the first thing it talks about in the book about immortality, how it's impossible to be conscious of being unconscious. And based on that premise, I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. It says we're immortal and that consciousness never really dies, that it's just reformed into new bodies. And that then the balance builds on that and says that you will be reborn into a place to balance out your past lives or create balance, because that's just how the universe moves, fundamental law. And so the good and bad luck, you mentioned something about creating bad luck and good luck and bad luck. What do you mean by that? Do you mean mankind as a whole or us as individuals?
Well, I tell you, just to simplify this, and forgive me if I'm bringing a little simplification, taking away from our intellectual discussion, but I just will make it's clear, because with some maturity and certain information, you will face up with some very simple, one-dimensional acts in life, and sometimes with a multitask issue. So this is extremely simple. For example, if I want to go to the party and I know that I cannot drink and drive, but I already feel great, so I decided to drink and drive, and boom, I'm stuck, and I'm jailed because I was drinking and driving. So my good luck was totally spoiled because I was looking forward to the party. I had a wonderful luck to be with my friends, and yet I spoiled it because I was foolish enough to do this very stupid thing. So that's what I'm saying, that you can control your bad luck and prevent certain things like I just described. That's all.
Yes. Well, the book actually says, the president actually says the opposite of that. It says you have absolutely no control over it, that it just balances no matter what you do or do not do. I mean, we have these minds and we can think these things, but whether we do it or not, it'll be balanced anyway. It's just how the universe works, that, and we have no control over it balancing. It'll balance no matter what we think or do.
Well, I will respectfully disagree with you, because I just gave you this example where I could easily control my wonderful good luck to spend the time with my friends and having a good time, because it is a privilege to have your friends and to have some special time. And yet I spoiled this because I turned this good luck into this bad luck. So I am a little skeptical, because even though on a philosophical and spiritual level you are correct, but I feel there is a gap when in everyday life we have this constant decision what is good, what is bad, what is immediate, and what is long-term decisions, then I think you have to see life for what it is in a very physical, concrete, responsible way. And you cannot just hope that universal law will bring you all these solutions.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you could call it hope or saying that you're just going to get what you want from the universe. Or, you know, it's just sort of like, the point is, I think, to like distance yourself from what's happening. So you see everything in a neutral way. So you don't, like, maybe go up on emotional high and then back down. More like seeing things from a distance or in an objective way, so that it's like more you're centered.
Yeah, going back to what you're saying about the good and bad luck, I see what you're saying about how we have to take responsibility and take care of things. That's what our minds are for. They're good at thinking about things and figuring out what to do and trying to find the best thing to do. But, I mean, that example you gave, are you really in control of that, or did it just balance out on your own? Let me give you another example. Say someone's born into a third world country and they're starving, and they just want a steak or something, and they're just wishing for a steak or some kind of food. And no matter how much they want to change their luck or get lucky and have a steak or something, they just don't have the opportunity. See, in your situation that you gave, you had the opportunity to drink and not spoil time with your friends, but you did it anyway, and you did it, and it was balanced. It just balanced on its own. It wasn't you balancing it. You just did what you did, and it balanced on its own. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't, because I don't see where is the balance.
Well, you can see the balance everywhere in the extremes of the universe. You can see the stars or planets orbiting around stars, galaxies turning.
Xavier, I'm sorry interrupting you. Where is the balance in my example? Because you brought this example, I like to understand where you're coming from. How did I balance that?
In your example?
Yes, because that's what you, if I understood you correctly, you made your own example with a child which was born in a third world country and deprived right there by definition where she or he was born. And then you made a parallel with example which I brought, and that it was balanced in my situation. How universal power balance that? I'd like to have a clear understanding of that.
Okay. Well, in your situation, you drank, and it balanced out because you were in jail. It's that simple. And, I mean, you can't really directly connect it to the universal law. It's hard to do that. But what you have to do is kind of extrapolate and use deductive logic. Like, you can see that everything is moving in balance outside of you, such as...
Okay, then let's determine what do you mean by balance. If it is all possible, what is the balance?
Well, the balance is how there's two sides to everything. In, out, divided, united, give, receive, and how one side creates the other. And that's the way you can relate it in your own life. But looking at the balance in sort of an objective way, you can see how everything goes in cycles or circles or the equivalent, like I was talking about with planets orbiting stars or electrons orbiting a nucleus.
Yes, so we're talking about dialectic here, where opposites are providing fundamentals for life. Am I in the same page with you? Okay, then let's go back to this third world child. But thank you, you explained this, and I also understand now where you're coming from. With this child of a third world country, the difference between that totally out of control situation for this little child and my situation, which I created with the drinking, I could control my drinking and avoid a problem. But the child in your situation, your example, cannot. So how's the balance function in your mind is working differently on those two situations?
That's actually the way I see it. It's not working any differently. I mean, the child has no control over his situation, so why would it be any different for you? Why would some situations have control and not other ones?
Well, that is a little bit contradiction to your previous statement that balance always will find its expression, because it's, as you said, balancing out. We came to the conclusion of these opposites. So there should be some kind of a contra situation which will balance this negative, unfortunate situation for this child which was born in this third world country. There should be some kind of positive, some kind of promise to counterbalance, show that a balance indeed is taking place. I couldn't get this from your explanation.
Yes, and that's what I was saying earlier about how it says it in the present, actually, about how it starts with the immortality thing, about how consciousness is just reborn in bodies and environments to balance out previous lives. So maybe that child born into that situation was an obese human eating a lot of food in the past life, engorging themselves and being greedy, and then they're reborn into a situation to balance out the last life, and so they're starving and they can't have any food.
Okay. Well, you certainly have a spiritual right for this concept. But let me introduce another dimension to this, see if you agree with this. We have different quality of the reality. There is a one is speculative, which based on a religious vision, religious beliefs, and religious rites, like you said with this third world born child, speculating that perhaps something took previously wrong placement in his life, and therefore his second life, if not a punishment, but certain reflection of a previous statement. And I gave you a very practical, realistic example where you said, well, you did something bad, you got punished. It's right there. There is no complexity in that. So let's go to your truth. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, there's no punishment in your situation either. It was also the balance. See, I just gave you an extreme. I just gave you an extreme example, and I'm trying to ask why it would be different in your situation than an extreme example. It's just harder to see in your situation.
Yeah. Why? Punishment is like a subjective explanation for things that happen.
No, but I was punished by being put in jail. You're absolutely right. I was arrested. I broke the law. So I paid a very obvious price for that. So I think it was an excellent comment of yours that it was balanced. It was action and reaction. So I don't see anything subjective in that.
Right. That's exactly what we were saying, that it's not really even punishment. That's a subjective way to say it. It's just the balance. Action and reaction, that's a better way to put it, I think. It makes more sense to me.
Okay. Then I would say a little deeper, we still have to face everyday life. And you, young people, and I know that Lily is a musician. I think you're a pianist, if I'm correct.
Yes, I am.
Are you performing, or are you just playing for the pleasure with the... Xavier, who is a guitarist, I imagine?
Yeah, I mean, I used to perform. I went to conservatory, but now I just play with Xavier.
Which is probably one of the most truthful moments you have between each other. Am I right or wrong?
In a way, yeah.
And I know that you are engaged.
Yes, we are.
So let me ask you, are you seeing the truth in the same philosophical way, or because you are totally two different individuals, you have different feelings of prism over the truth, and how the truth unites you, or maybe sometimes creates challenging for your intellectual exchanges? So what is the truth? What is the placement of the truth in your personal and professional life?
Well, it's the foundation of our relationship, but it's more of seeking truth, a combined effort to seek the truth, because, I mean, we're still truth seekers. I mean, that entry that we're talking about at the truth contest is just the top one. It's the one that's received the most feedback. A lot of people have said it's true and have offered to spread it and things like that. So that's why it's up there. And it's obviously had an influence on that, along with all the people that have contacted, an influence on us, along with all people that have contacted the contest. But it's the foundation of our relationship. I mean, we're both looking for the truth of life, and we're both here in reality with each other, and we're looking for the truth about reality. We're looking for that which is. So there's nothing more unifying than that to a relationship or to the entire human race.
It makes the relationship a lot simpler, just to be on the foundation of reality. I mean, there's a lot less. There's like almost no argument at all. I mean, there isn't any argument at all. You just see each other for the way you are, and you see that. I mean, you're just like a creation of the universe. So there can't be anything wrong with that. I mean, that's just like a subjective idea as well, and it just makes it so it's so simple that you just see each other as yourselves.
And it makes it simple because with the truth, you don't really need to take anything personally when you see that you're just part of the universe. And when you see the other person as just you, you see everything as you and you as everything else. It makes it almost impossible to take things personally, and that's what ruins a lot of relationships, almost all relationships. People start taking things personally, and without that, Lily said it the best, it just makes it so much more simple, as simple as possible.
You know, it sounds extremely logical, and it sounds extremely seductive, I would say, but I have, honestly, two reservations. Number one, and I'm sure you will jump and say this is only one truth because it is so universal. But if we will take a scale of differences between people, different cultural roots, different characters, different education, different background, needless to say that many people cannot even start to think what the truth is, and it would be fortunate if they will know how to spell word truth. But I don't think there's something deficient in having sometimes disagreements and to have lack of understanding. I think the truth is in communication and expansion of the differences, on the differences. An expansion in the patience to understand where the truth comes from each individual soul. Because if I like the rose, and it's the truth, we have a rose, and rose is very beautiful. But another person say, no, this absolutely ugly flower. And this person says this because perhaps this rose was put on the grave of his or her mother. And therefore, association is extremely bitter and dark. There is nothing wrong for this person to express this truth. Of course, this opinion is not going to be categorized as a lie or deception or some kind of a perversion. But there are different sense of truth. So take into consideration this example with the rose. I would say that disagreement is not an enemy of the truth.
No, I would say it's not either, but when people say the rose is beautiful, the rose is ugly, that's not expressing truth, that's expressing opinions or beliefs and even labeling the rose. The truth is the truth no matter what people believe. And what we're looking for is the unifying. Like, people can people can disagree. Go ahead.
Yeah, and your mind can create infinite perceptions of different things. I mean, like, there's infinite, like, ideas and perceptions, and I mean, there's tons of cultures and backgrounds in the world. But, I mean, a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. And so if, like, I mean, one of us disagree or something, it's just maybe, like, a way to, like, communicate, like the way our mind is perceiving something.
And it's important to tolerate the differences and the cultures and all the diversity in our world. Toleration is a very important first step. But the fact is, I mean, this is a truth that everyone can check for themselves. We all have to live and die. There's no avoiding that. So that has to be what unites us, the truth about life and death, because we all have to go through it. So if we're all here on this planet, sharing this planet, and in this reality of life and death, then we should seek the truth about what life actually is, how it actually works, because it has to work the same for all of us. If it worked differently for everyone, there would be no truth. So that's the kind of unifying truth we're looking for, the truth that applies to everyone, that concerns everyone.
You know, I certainly feel very comfortable with no arguments regarding certain positions like life and death. You also mentioned in your writing that 2 multiplied 2 is 4. Those factual things are important to be aware of, but I still have somewhat issues with subjectivity and with some understanding of truth, which is really very hard and sometimes impossible to pinpoint with the words. So I don't even talking about some other dimension when people communicate through the art. And the reason I mentioned that Lily is a musician, I'm sure she has this precious dimension to express herself artistically. And you're so both lucky because you can speak truthful artistic language playing together. But even without this, if we will talk about some other gifts which people have, being in the same handicap, like blind people or deaf people, and they can be happier, for example, than so-called normal people, they will introduce some dimensions in life which might not be that clear to a general population, because it's their vision of life, and their life is the proof of the truth that no matter how unfortunate you are, you still have a full life. Maybe struggle, but even struggle can be beautiful. So I'm not saying that you're wrong, not at all, but I'm saying that I have a little problems when you are labeling certain facts of life with the words, missing multidimensional qualities or possibilities.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And just talking about the truth, it's hard not to generalize, because if you didn't generalize and say things you couldn't really talk about, you'd be talking for hours and hours about one thing. But what we want to do is combine the objective with the subjective. We're not trying to leave anything out. We're trying to make the two one, so to speak. And we want to examine all perspectives, a blind perspective, a starving person's perspective, a struggling person, a rich person. Go ahead.
Yeah, but the truth is something that is fundamental. I mean, it's like the fundamental big picture, like simple parts of life. And I mean, there is like, and everything, I mean, life is multidimensional. I mean, it's infinite. I mean, there's so many varieties of everything. But I mean, but that's not exactly what unifies us. It's just like the fundamentals of life is what unifies us, and that's the basis for everything, in fact.
Yeah, it's like how that book The Present talks about it, says that the balance in combination with evolution and with inspiration and things like that, creates infinite things like fractal patterns. It uses an example, infinite perspectives, infinite patterns, all these things. But the fundamental thing is what those patterns come out of, that they come out of the balance and that they come out of inspiration or what you call it, or intent. And these things, those are the things that unify us, the fundamental things that we're all subject to, that none of us can escape or avoid. And that's what we're really looking for, unifying truth. And by combining the objective and subjective, we look for different expressions of that. Sorry,
and I would say, sorry for interruption, I see your intention. And it's not only it's noble, not only it's relevant, but it is extremely admirable that young people like yourself, who are faced with perhaps even more burden of negative aspects of our society, because you would have to deal with this and you would have to be progressive and put all your talents in spite of all obstacles you will face. It's extraordinarily noble, and my congratulations to you, to your spirit, to your bravery. And it's quite contagious to some other young people. So I cannot have enough admiration for you. I only like to point it to you, not as a criticism at all, but if you can be somewhat a little bit more distinct and more precise where you connect in something very objective, given unbeatable, with something more subjective, more spiritual, and less invisible. That's all my comment, and I'm sure there is an endless amount of situations, because dialectic is endless, and you certainly might even feel creative struggle to make it more precise. It's a life work what you started. So again, it's not a criticism. It's my observation and sincere understanding where you're coming from.
Yeah, and what you said, I mean, we'd love for you, if you can express something like that, something that combines the objective and subjective, if you can write something out, we'd love for you to submit it to the contest. I mean, it's open to everyone. It's www.truthcontest.com. We want everyone to participate and take a look at the entries and submit something if they think they can add to it or really put something out there that can unite people.
Absolutely, and no doubt, as you can see, I have some thoughts. I certainly will contribute to your website. By the way, your website, not only colorful, it's very well designed. Among billions of the websites, it's like a notion of the websites, and people unfortunately don't go often beyond the websites. They think they read websites and they know it all. I'm not one of these people. I have this old-fashioned tradition, until I hear or until I read. In your case, it was reading. My reading of your thoughts. Website is just a little appetizer, but then you give me this main course with your thoughts, with your writing, and it cannot be more rewarding to have your own ideas and form your own thoughts. And I need to... again, to thank you that you took such not terribly attractive from commercial standpoint of view, but even much more important than any commercial enterprise, which has to do with the formation of human being, being young, as I said before, but also the fact that we're living in such a material time. Most people understand this, but most of them are afraid to talk about this. You're absolutely correct. This fear became almost like a leading force in people's mentality. And of course, we can talk for another hour to talk about broken childhood and talk about challenges which parents are faced with their children. So all this symphony of human feelings, you certainly trying to understand, trying to not only understand, actually, you're trying to deliver as your own thinking a lot of them very clear, and my comments are only, frankly, quite subjective, because life has all of these sides. And I guess a couple of final questions I wanted to ask you about your personal plans. How would you combine your own, strictly speaking, earning, financial earning to support yourself with this very noble human mission? What are your personal plans on doing those two branches of your life?
Well, to start, we really can't even see anything more important or more vital to do at this time we live in than to work on something to find, define, and spread unifying truth. But as far as combining with financial earnings, we've actually incorporated a nonprofit organization called Unifying Truth Project. It's connected to the website Truth Contest. There's a link to it. And what we're trying to do with that is expose division and very big issues like the political system and clean energy. And we're trying to point out how division is actually the root problem that keeps us from making any progress, keeps us from working together, keeps these wars going and everything, keeps these threats to our survival from being addressed and resolved. And what we're doing with that is just connecting it to the Truth Contest and saying, and trying to point out the root problem and also offer the solution, which is unifying truth, simultaneously. And with that, right now, we're open to accept donations from people who want to help keep it going, people who want to help spread it. And there's donation buttons on both the Truth Contest and the Unifying Truth Project website. So if anyone thinks this is important, we very much welcome donations, and all of it will go towards finding, defining, and spreading unifying truth.
This is just a suggestion, because it's such a noble goal. If you directly can contact universities, especially with environmental issues, especially some nutritional points and habits of life, some other areas which has to do with preventive medicine, I think you can link to your very genuine understanding what is life all about. And I think that is one of the way to attract people with your ideas and application to their own everyday life. So if you go directly to those industries, perhaps you will find a more direct responses, because I cannot find a better philosophical merge and harmony in between what you're trying to express as a heart of life, heart of humankind, history, and those immediate challenges, very relevant to our society, to prove your philosophy, your point, and open people's mind. I can see that you can be in a beautiful parachute. Someone said open parachute only will fly if it's open. So you have open mind, and I certainly will wish you a wonderful journey with flying with your open mind, to be just as energizing as you are right now. And I think I'd like you to announce again your website, and also to express your cliche of your philosophy, what it is in a nutshell, which you like to share with the humanity.
Well, our website to start with is www.truthcontest.com. What we want to share with humanity is an opportunity to find, define, and spread the truth as a collective effort, using this wonderful network, this very powerful network, using it to its full potential, the internet, and to use it to actually help us evolve, to help us realize the truth and wake up to the truth, to spread the truth as fast as possible. And we want to get everyone involved with that. And our organization is going exactly what in the direction exactly what you said about facing these real immediate pressing issues like clean energy and our political system, and to actually link them with our philosophies, which with what has been submitted to the contest, and see that there's actually really simple solutions to these seemingly endless issues and problems. If only people would first unite, if only people would first realize the fundamental truth of life and death, the thing that can unite the entire human race. And what I want to ask humanity is just to seek the truth for themselves, just to check it out.
Well, it is extremely comprehensive, and just to add to it, because I'm in a very wide spectrum of education, from psychological, entertaining, and academic point of view, my hope, and especially my hope for you, that it would be a fantastic idea if part of the curriculum in schools, there will be added curriculum how to approach a modern and present. So, because we're living in these modern times and people totally overwhelmed by good and bad, and present is because they are forced to be present in their modern time. So I think along with academic disciplines, which we all need to know, but it has to be a much more profound social understanding beyond just social studies, history, or even philosophy. It has to be subject now and why. So on this note, I will thank you for being my guest. And
thank
I
you.
Wanted to...
Thank you very much.
And I also wanted to wish you not only a fantastic journey, but great patience, because you're going to see a lot of challenges in front of you, and my very strong confidence that those challenges will give you even greater inspiration. Needless to say, I wish you a wonderful, happy life.
Thank you, Lena.
Thank you.
And with a happy Thanksgiving Day, and on this very happy note, I will saying goodbye to you on a musical note as well. And then after this, I will stay on the air with my listeners for a little while. And on a musical note, we will send you again goodbye.
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 Life is back. Just a few moments on the air to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving Day, something we certainly need to be thankful. And just to have a little preliminary thought, how it is important indeed to be thankful, and how it is important to find this moment to be thankful, even though moments can be very tough, strenuous, stressful. But we always need to remember that even though we might not be totally happy and totally content, and we said needless amount of times that our modern challenges are sometimes quite overwhelming, But certainly, life is bigger than anything. And certainly, with some maturity and with the music, something which you hear, and music inside of us, which we don't hear outside, but we always surrounded by these moments of thanks. It's almost like a aura of being comforted by this hope, comforted also by the moments where we're trying to find smile, to give a smile. And besides that, it's just wonderful to get together with the friends and family. We're so much in a rush, and we're in a rush inside out. So on this particular Thanksgiving Day, I wish all of you to find those moments of taste, wonderful sources, being as creative as possible with your gourmet ideas, and I share with you a little bit of mine. Perhaps cranberry sauce can be mixed with some sour cherry sauce. That's a little spice to the turkey. So let's add a little spice to our thoughts. And with that, I will wish you all wonderful Thanksgiving Day with your own rights to celebrate. And with this, let's have beginning of our holiday time memorable, as comfortable as we can have it, with a lovely promise to be healthy and to be productive for ourselves and our society. On this note, that was Lena Live. Until next Tuesday, thank you for listening. Thank you to BBS. And thank you to all who have been so kind to support this program. Goodbye.